We're now going to turn things over to Christine James, who's in studio with State Representative Kathy Lenatra and James Creed, a lieutenant with the Plymouth Sheriff's Department, to discuss a bill that seeks to help law enforcement officers after involvement with a critical incident. Christine.
Thank you very much, Dan. That's right. I am here in studio with State Representative Kathy Lenatra of Kingston and James Creed, a lieutenant with the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is a little bit of a revisit for us because as we were talking a little bit off air, Jim, you and I were on here in 2016, a short time after an incident happened that you were involved with that really changed your life, changed other people's lives, and it saved some lives. And I want to talk a little bit about the aspect of those. If you could tell our listeners a little bit about what happened on that day back in 2016 when you were having dinner, I believe it was at a Bertucci's in Taunton at the mall.
That's correct. Yeah, May 10th, 2016, my wife and I went out to dinner the night before my birthday. And just before we were getting to leave, we were waiting on the check. Someone came into the restaurant, went over to the waitress stand. He grabbed a knife and started stabbing one of the waitresses in the back.
What was your first reaction?
At first, we couldn't actually tell what he was doing. It just looked like they were arguing or fighting, and then very quickly realized it was more than that. So training pretty much took over from there.
What did you do?
I stood up from my table. I keep a badge in my pocket with the chain around it, put it around my neck, and I drew my firearm, and I just started ordering him to get on the ground, stop, drop the knife, over and over and over again.
What did he do? Did he comply?
No, he didn't. He was wrestling with another patron at that point, George Heath. He and his wife, Rosemary, put themselves between the assailant and the waitress, Sheena. And they were able to get her some time. She was able to get away, and then he focused his attention on me.
And what did he say to you?
I just kept giving him commands to get down, get on the ground, and at one point he just started charging at me, and he just said, "We're both going to die today."
Mm-hmm. And you said to yourself, "That's not going to happen."
Yeah, I gave him as many chances as I possibly could, probably more than I should have. He was probably 7 to 10 feet from me when I was forced to fire.
And then, so you fired at him, and he collapsed at that point, and so the craziness stopped at that moment.
Yeah, pretty much. He actually got up twice. He got up once, I moved back into my right, and he got up again, and I was able to kind of turn, and that was pretty helpful, because when the Taunton police arrived, I was facing the door.
And I remember we had been listening on the scanner, because that was sort of the culmination of a wild spree that this man had had. As I remember, he was in a neighborhood. I think there were people even doing yard work. One person who he tried to attack, I remember that night.
Yeah, he was over at soccer fields off Myrick Street, I think it is, in Taunton. And he got a phone call. No one knows what the phone call was about. He left. He crashed his car into someone, tried to carjack them, and then he ran into the Slavin's house and killed Patricia Slavin and injured her daughter pretty bad. Then he ran outside and got back in his own car and crashed through the mall. He went into Macy's, attacked a few people, and then eventually made his way through into Bertucci's.
So you ended the rampage of a madman is what happened, and you saved how many other people from being attacked or killed? So I imagine it was a pretty wild moment, and when something like that happens, I imagine you've got adrenaline just surging through you, and you're wondering exactly, oh my gosh, what happened right here? Was that your feeling? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, definitely. That's fair to say. The immediate aftermath, we went out. I was taken outside to the cruiser to sit with one of the police officers, and I heard all that other traffic on the scanner, and I asked him, "Is this all from this incident?" He said, "Yes." And then it really started to hit me that it was much more than what we were involved in.
Okay, now like on the TV shows, this kind of stuff happens, and then the officer goes back to, okay, next day in work, and everything's normal, and nothing else happens. But that's not exactly how it played out. Tell our listeners what happened.
No, I wasn't really familiar with what happens either. That night, I asked for a friend that works for Taunton PD to come to the scene, my friend Rob Schwartz, and I didn't know at the time, but Rob was a member, and he's actually the head of the Taunton Police Critical Incident Support Team. So Rob came out with his team to the station and met with Laura and I, took us to the side, and immediately started going over some of the stuff with us, what to expect the next day, and set up some future meetings for us.
What kinds of things did they say would happen? Would you have like start an emotional reaction, a physical reaction?
Yeah, they actually gave us a sheet with some common physical signs that you could go through, which ended up being very helpful, and some emotional things, and kind of talked through what the process would be. Rob was involved in the shooting as well at work, maybe a year or two prior to mine. So he had firsthand experience. There was another officer from Dartmouth, same thing. So it was really helpful to hear from other people that have been through it before.
Did you have a feeling that you sort of knew what you were going to expect, or did everything that transpire, was that a surprise to you?
No, it was still kind of a surprise. The next morning, it was my birthday. I started getting texts and calls for my birthday and had to explain to people what had happened the night before, because it had made the news, but my name didn't make the news till about midday.
Okay. And so then you were thinking, well, what do I do now? Did you start looking, well, maybe I need to, you know, run and get this out of my system. Maybe I need to go talk to somebody. What was your first reaction?
Yeah, normally I'm not someone that likes to talk about my failings, but I think having my wife with me and having a friend on the scene encouraged me to do it really helped. So the next morning, Rob came over to my house. I had family at my house. My parents were at my house. A few friends came over. And then around midday, the house kind of emptied out, got quiet. And that's pretty much when stuff started to really hit me. I started to feel some physical signs that I had been warned about, so I knew to expect, but it was still a surprise. I started having like really bad stomach pains, cramps, and I ended up just laying quietly in my bathroom for about an hour or two, just kind of trying to gather myself, and I couldn't tell if I was going to be sick. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay, so how long did this last? Was this most of the day, or does this off and on for a couple of days?
That was passing. I still feel like my adrenaline was high for a few days after the fact. Everything happened on a Tuesday night. And on Friday morning, we went into Boston to meet with the Boston Peer Support Team. And then when we left, we went for a walk at Pope John Park. And between talking and going outside and getting some fresh air and going for a walk, we started to feel much, much better.
That's great. And you were thinking, is this something that needs to have more attention on? Do you need more kinds of things to do to feel normal? I know that this all plays into a bill that you filed, Kathy Lenatra, and that's House Bill 3845 that seeks to help law enforcement officers after involvement with a critical incident. What's in that bill?
Yes. So thank you, Christine, for having us today. It was actually Lieutenant Creed that brought this bill to my attention. It actually parrots a bill of Colorado, right, Jim?
Yep.
Yeah, for Colorado. So we sat with Rob Schwartz as well. It had to be via Zoom at that point, and we really went over the bill line by line and what they offer in Colorado and what is mandatory. You know, officers go through trauma, and not all officers get the help that they need. Like if Jim didn't have that friend reach out to him, he wouldn't have known. And you know, there's a stigma with that, it being in that profession, in a law enforcement profession, that you're made of armor, right? That you're supposed to just take this stuff in and internalize it. And as we know, Jim says this all the time too, is that hurt people hurt people, and people go through trauma. Law enforcement officers go through trauma, and it could be an incident like Lieutenant Creed's. It could be an incident where someone has just had a child and they come across a child abuse incident. There's so many things that they come across that can resonate with things going on with their family, and that's trauma too. And we want every law enforcement officer to have that opportunity, and for it to be really mandatory that they get the help that they need, and it's ongoing help, so there's follow-up with it.
And tell me about this bill. They talk about adding resiliency training. What exactly is that resiliency training?
Jim can probably speak more to that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff we've been pushing for, and a lot of it is in place. We could always use more. You're getting training beforehand to recognize the signs and ways to kind of build you up so that you're more resistant to the stress when it does come, and that you expect that it comes. It's still going to happen, but that you can deal with it better so that you can deal with it in a healthy way. It cuts down on a lot of issues for police departments overall, too. You're going to have less behavior issues, less substance abuse, less divorce.
And doesn't something like this, wouldn't this also apply to, say, some of the people you work with and your family, like your two families, your work family and your home family? Are there parts for them as well?
Yeah, that's actually one of the main components of the bill that I really liked from Colorado. Is I was lucky enough that my wife was involved from the get-go. They involved her in the entire process, but that's not always the case, especially if the incident didn't happen with the spouse present. So you can certainly request that your spouse or somebody gets help, but this would actually require it. So that way they know exactly what you're going through, and then they're there to help you instead of going through it alone.
And you can discuss it too. You know, like a lot of people close themselves off when they've been involved in a trauma, especially a spouse, one spouse and the other. So this really involves the family too, so you can discuss it together and heal together.
Do you think that there is as much stigma now in police departments about, you know, being strong and about being, you know, no, I can handle it, I can take it? Do you think that's opening up a little bit, where they say, hey, you know what, we're only human, and I think that's a good thing. I think that people see that, that, you know, they, the police officers, sheriff's department people, you have feelings too. I think that's important. It's good for people to say, we're not robots. We're people trying to help you. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think people are a lot more willing to talk than they used to be, and I mm-hmm. think some of the people might surprise you. I took a class a few years ago, and there was kind of a, what you'd think is like a weather grizzle vet in the back of the room, mm-hmm. and he had his arms crossed the whole time. He didn't look very happy as they were talking. He stood up and he said, "I only have one question." And it was like, "Oh, here we go." And he said, "Where was this 30 years ago when right. I started my career? This is great."
Isn't that great when people surprise you like
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So what, over the past couple of years, as you and your family have healed from this, what do you think some of the most important takeaways would be? What do you think has helped you the most?
I think everything overall helped. I mean, talking certainly helps. Every time I talk to people, share my story, I think it helps me in a way, helps take some of the pressure off. Just knowing that there are people that you can call when you go through things.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I seem to have very bad luck. We've gone through a lot in the past few years, and I've had people to lean on, and it's been really helpful.
And that's what, House Bill 3845.
Correct.
Kathy, do you need people to call the State House and say, "I support this"? Are you getting a lot of support from this?
We're getting so much support. So it was voted favorably out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
It is now sitting in Ways and Means. We do have budget week next week mm-hmm. in the House, and then I'll be sitting with the chair of Ways and Means the week after that.
Okay, so you'll keep us posted with what's happening. Jim, anything else you want to add about your experience or about people supporting this bill? Anything at all?
Just thank you for having us today. It's great to get the word out. I'm hopeful that this can move forward. Hopefully we can get it out of committee.
Well, I'm glad we were able to connect again. And last time I think I talked to you was 2016 after this incident. And I think you're bringing a very important issue to the forefront, Kathy. I'm glad you're able to file this. And we'll talk again about it. And I guess it's always good to remember that what you did was you were heroic. And God knows how many people's lives you saved. So thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Kathy Lenatra, State Representative, and Jim Creed, a lieutenant with the Plymouth Sheriff's Department. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.